Welcome to the Write Night podcast. Hosted by poet Andrew Rahal, the series started life as a newsletter for Andrew's writing group during a pandemic. His was a voice in the void, sharing moments of reflection and insight into a writing life.
April 16, 2021. Dear Write Night family, death is difficult. It's hard for me to even put it another way. Talking, thinking, and writing about death doesn't come naturally, or at least it makes most conversations uncomfortable, especially when it's personal. For me, approaching the subject is like walking through my own house at night. I know where things are generally, but it takes my eyes and my body some time to adjust to the darkness, to move freely in this space. When the Haitian-American writer Edwige Dandekot was working on her collection of personal and literary essays that became The Art of Death, Writing the Final Story, she quickly realized that if you're saying you're writing about death, the usual response is, "Are you okay?" It's caring and empathetic response, but it also reveals a vague distress in the very idea of death and our universal vulnerability as humans. If our curiosity and life experience is pulling us into these ideas, is something wrong? Does writing about death require a certain kind of process before we can broach the subject? Thinking about this now, I realize in my writing, I don't often write squarely about death. If I look back at my writing, the word itself probably only comes up a handful of times. Loss, grief, absence, unknowing, the beyond, dying, all those ideas surface. But death with a capital D beaming in on mortality at such a human physical level can be intense and difficult. In writing Hamnet, a historical novel inspired by the short life of Anne and William Shakespeare's only son, who died age 11 during the Black Death, Maggie O'Farrell talks at length about her own difficult journey in this process. In an interview with Damon Barr at the Literary Salon, she describes how rather superstitiously she waited to write the novel until after her own son turned 11. But she felt an even greater strain when it came to writing the death and burial scenes of Hamnet. She confesses she could not physically write those passages in her home, and instead removed herself to the dilapidated greenhouse behind her family's home. O'Farrell notes, "It felt too poisonous. I can't imagine this, so I can't write it sitting in the house where my children live, so I had to write outside." In Grief Observed, C.S. Lewis articulates this physical sense of fear as part of the changing form that grief inhabits in the body. "For in grief, nothing stays put," Lewis writes. "One keeps on emerging from a phase, but it always recurs, round and round. Everything repeats. Am I going in circles, or dare I hope I am on a spiral? But if a spiral, am I going up or down it? How often will it be for always? How often will the vast emptiness astonish me like a complete novelty and make me say, 'I never realized my loss till this moment'? The same leg is cut off time after time." In Lewis's alarming image of a limb cut, grown back, and cut again, loss is a traumatic ideation, and the grieving process is a broken narrative. The process insists on us to find some new way to reroute and grow into loss that accumulates over a lifetime. If O'Farrell and Lewis highlight the real personal disturbance and fear of facing death, Dandekot seems more comfortable with the idea. In discussing The Art of Death, her claim that, quote, "I've been writing about death for as long as I've been writing," indicates a constant and urgent engagement in this conversation. This conscious treatment with death touches on Annie Dillard's advice to write as though you are writing to terminal patients, which resonates closely to Christopher Hitchens' end-of-life writing project, Mortality. Dealing with a diagnosis of terminal cancer in hospital, Hitchens left us with a gritty, wry, and almost real-time account of his personal experience dying in a series of essays for Vanity Fair. Elsewhere, in the poems of Emily Dickinson, although I could not stop for death and I felt a funeral in my brain, Dickinson explores both narrative and lyrical manifestations of death as this posthumous seer and seeker. The narrative arc in Although I Could Not Stop for Death takes us through a life review from A to B. While I Felt a Funeral in My Brain spins wildly and intensely around sense, language, and the weight of death. In practical terms, representing death on the page is difficult and delicate, so the very act of writing the final story moves outward and backward from death, circling it, and our attempts to grapple with it become the story itself. To me, this does not sound so far from the complete representation of lived experience on the page. So, in that sense, language only ever gestures toward deficient meanings from strange experiences. Writing about death closely mirrors the way we write about life, and especially when it comes to catastrophes, random and orchestrated acts of violence, or worldwide pandemics, this life proves that anything can occur at any day, at any time. Not just in novels or poems or films. Births, baptisms, weddings, funerals, these are marked occasions and they happen every day. When we consider death, we immediately consider life. As Danticat observes, ultimately these moments are private. She writes, "Each death is as singular as the individual who is dying, and in the end, all we have is our faith and belief and imagination to either haunt or comfort us." But daily we recognize the power of people coming together and creating communities in the face of death. The vigils after the murder of Sarah Everard in March, after the shooting death of Dante Wright just this week, after so many tragedies, are a testament to this. These are events that bind us. In both personal and public ways, the loss of a loved one reaffirms that death is the end of a life, but it is not the end of a relationship. So making sense of death becomes a way of valuing stories and carrying on our relationships with ones we have lost. Personally, I take most comfort in the fact that still, in pain, fear, and grief, as Toni Morrison suggests, we inherit that person through the language of their life story. We find ways to carry them forward. Happy reading, happy writing. Take care.
The Write Night podcast is written and hosted by Andrew Rahal and produced by Connor McCafferty, Dara McQuaid, and Rachel Brown, with music by Connie Gavin. If you would like to join the Write Night family, find out more at seamusheaneycentre.com.